glory, honor, and power. Praise his name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good and beautiful day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful, sunny world to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Just wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. This wonderful, warm, sunny day.
Yes, thanks for being with us this morning.
It's always my pleasure.
Great. Take it away, sister.
Okay, as she said, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm bringing you the morning scripture and prayer for today, and it is titled A Living Sacrifice to God, and it's found in Romans 12, 1 through 13. And it reads as follows. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted up to you by your people in this service. We ask that you bless the preacher with whom a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. And finally, dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his mighty and wonderful name, we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Loretta. You know that's my favorite scripture. It's going to be mine for life. It says so much about what we should do every day. That's our life scripture right there.
Yeah.
And so we just appreciate you so much for being with us this morning, opening us up.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too, hon. Bye.
All right. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord and we have prayed, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen, and thank you, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. Appreciate you, and thank you, Deaconess Loretta Welch, Dr. Loretta Welch, as Deacon Eric Reed likes to say. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you this morning, and usually I just play the song, but this one, every time I hear this song, it's by Byron Cage, you know, the Prince of Praise. Anyway, it's the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. Now imagine Jacob. Amen. And Jacob has tricked his brother out of the birthright, got together with his mother and ganked their father for the blessing, and now Esau is man. Jacob got to get up out of town. So Jacob, on his way out of town, ends up in the middle of nowhere. And he goes and lays down. He gets a brick or a boulder and uses it for a pillow. I don't know how that worked out, but he did it. Amen. And while he was asleep, the Lord showed him a vision of a ladder that reached from earth to heaven. And you know what? When Jacob woke up after seeing that vision, he said, I had no idea presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. And in that vision, God told Jacob he would give him everything he needed to pull off the will of God. So while we're here in the presence of the Lord, amen, let's go ahead on and get our blessing.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it. The power of the Lord is here. blessing.
Man, when you come into God's presence, you better do like Jacob. You better grab him and hold on to him and tell the Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Amen. When we get that opportunity to be in front of the Lord, every time he come and ask me, what do I want? I ask him, are we just doing that thing? Are we just playing or are we serious? And he don't say nothing. And I take him to be serious. I say, I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Whenever God asks me what I want to be like Jesus. Why? Because of something Jesus said over there in John chapter 6. He said that the Father approved of him. I'm like, whoa, amen. I want that. Amen. And how do you get God's approval first? Accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And then kind of do what he tells you to do. You know, it's a wonderful thing, a wonderful privilege that we have the ability to come to church or to be in the presence of God, because miraculous things happen in the presence of God. I love coming into the sanctuary. Amen. Some awesome stuff takes place in the sanctuary. Now, if you come to church to get some, other than, you know, how to live for Jesus, you know, Sunday school, sermon, amen. But in that praise and that worship, amen, you ought to come to give something. Amen. We give God what? Thanks, praise, and worship when we all come together like right now in the sanctuary.
Oh, God, once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us.
So we lift our hands in the sanctuary, and we give you glory and honor and praise. Come on, come on.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days.
Yes.
We will praise you for the rest of our days.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands.
Amen. See, pastors ain't the only one who have about 3, 4, 5 closings. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was like, is this through Jesus? He said, oh, no. They got some. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I love the Lord. I know you do, too. We all love the Lord because he is so good to us. Think about, okay, just stop for a second. Slow down. Think about last Saturday, where you were last Saturday. You was probably here in service, right? Now, think about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and all the stuff that happened, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, all the stuff that happened, the good days, the bad days, the ups, the downs, the ins and outs. And guess what? Here you are again on Saturday. None of it was able to stop you. Whatever it wasn't able to stop you from coming to give God some glory. Amen? Give God some praise for all those days, and he did it. We didn't do it. We couldn't wake ourselves up one of them days, and guess what? You didn't even rock yourself to sleep that night. God did. Amen. And here you are again. So guess what we ought to do? We ought to make his praise glorious.
Come on, make a joyful noise in this house. Make a joyful noise. Come on, make a joyful noise.
Sing up the name of Jesus, and you hear the music say,
Amen. Make it glorious. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and truly encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to Pastor God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, offering a prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers' praise to the Lord. Amen.
You are Jesus, you're my strong tower, Jesus. My strength this hour, Jesus. You're my deliverer, yes, you are, Jesus. My hope and my future, Jesus. Source and my shelter, Jesus. You're my Savior, keeper, and my friend. Lord, I need you to take my hand and see me through. Whoa, now I need your grace.
deliverer, my strong power, my source, my shelter, my savior, my friend. People, we got to make this personal because he's all that for me, but he's also all that for you. And you got to know that. So as we go before the throne of grace this morning, just remember that. And as Pastor said earlier, we get to praise and worship God. And one way that we do that is through our praise and worship and certainly through our prayer. And so we're going to go before the throne this morning and just keep in mind we're going to remember who he is. Then we're going to ask him to forgive us for some things that we've done. And then we're going to petition him for what we want because he's already taken care of what we need. We're going to remind ourselves of the promises that we have made to him and the promises that he has made back to us. And then we're going to finish out praising his name because he is worthy. All right. We ready? Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord God, you are so good, so great, so awesome. You are our everything. We live, move, and have our being only because of you. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for being so good to us. Yes, just as the old people used to say, you are better to us than we are to ourselves. We think we know what we need, but you really know what we need, and you have given all of it to us. You give us air, food, water, and shelter. You take care of our physical well-being and our mental well-being. If only we would trust you with our minds and hearts, we would not suffer in the mental prisons that we have erected for ourselves. Lord, please forgive us for making ourselves mentally sick. We find ourselves in a state of worry and grief because of the things we do. We literally dig pits for ourselves, and when we end up there, we become worried, distressed, and ill. Oh, God, you see your children doing all kinds of things that will not end well for them. You are sorrowed by this. You are sorry for us, and we ask your forgiveness, for we are sorry that despite all the hope and promise you have instilled and poured into us, we are like the proverbial dog who returns to his vomit. How disgusting is that picture, Lord God? Yet you give us descriptions and proverbs for that very reason, to arouse our thoughts, to wake us up to the reality of what we are doing, the damage we are causing others, to our message as Christians, and even to ourselves. You said in my personal life scripture of Ephesians 5:11, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them. Yet we flirt with darkness. Just this past week, a man confessed to police that he had a sex addiction. Apparently, he had been visiting massage parlors. I don't know what he did when he went there, Lord God, but you do. Father, you see everything we do. You saw how that man slid from just tipping into darkness every now and then to the point that his mind was consumed with sexual desire. We're talking about sex sin, but any unfruitful work of darkness has the capacity to grab and drag us into mental despair. Father, you have given us a roadmap of how all this goes down. In James 1, it says, and remember, when we are being tempted, not to say that it is you, God, who is tempting us. Oh, Father, thank you that you never tempt us to do wrong. No, we cannot blame that on you. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. And these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. These scriptures totally describe what happened with that young man and what can happen to any one of us if we chase after our evil desires. Oh, Lord, let us all heed your warning as written in your word. For if we do not, if we instead give in to desire, even more evil can be unleashed. Lord, the man with the sexual addiction is saying that it drove him to kill 8 people this week. He actually wanted to kill more, but he was stopped. He hunted down and shot 6 women and 2 men
addicted to massage parlors. Lord, we hope that these souls knew you and are now with you as they are absent from the body. We pray for their survivors. We pray for all of those trapped in the industry of human trafficking. Lord God, please rescue these people, some of whom do not even realize that they are ensnared or trapped. We ask that you would shine a light on every type of darkness so that Satan is not able to conceal illegal and sinful services under the guise of a back massage. We are in agreement that all you consider to be evil is in reality evil. You are not engaged in a philosophical discussion. Evil is real. No, we cannot look at each other and see the evil just looking each other in the face, but our thoughts and the condition of our hearts can produce the rotten, ungodly, unholy fruit that is sin, and sin is hurtful. We agree with you, Lord, that sin is indeed sin. In Galatians 5, sin is called out by terms that we can all recognize. Your word says that when we follow the desires of our sinful nature, the results are very clear, that we end up in sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Oh, Lord, please help us. It doesn't have to be this way, for you are here with us every moment of our lives. You sent Jesus as an example. He never sinned, proving that we do not have to succumb to temptation. And you poured your Holy Spirit into us as a guide always, able and willing to show us a more excellent way. We pray for the man who is now seated in not just a mental prison, but also a physical one. May this experience bring the man and everyone who hears about it to you, the real true God. Let them seek you with all of their hearts. Let them take the hand of Jesus Christ as he leads them through the Holy Spirit to your holy welcoming arms. We thank you for always being there with welcoming arms no matter what we have done. Oh, Father, you know that most of this prayer was written as I traveled in a car on Thursday afternoon. And so at that time, I only knew what the news was reporting about the man who killed all of those people. In addition to his enslavement and sexual sin, it is thought that he is prejudiced. They are calling it a hate crime because many of the people he killed are from an ethnic minority, a group of people that our leaders have unleashed a target on by telling the masses that they are responsible for the coronavirus. Jesus, help us. Please, Lord, help us. Yes, this is a hate crime, whether it meets the legal definition or not, for the hate that inspired this demon-fueled rage was not born of love, not born of you. So what I learned this morning is that the man who did the killing professed to being a believer in you, God, in Christ. From what I read, I believe, Lord, that he has accepted you, but he struggled. Lord, I'm not sure how to best say this. I am speaking to you with the knowledge that others are listening. So I guess in a way you are also speaking back to all of us. I am aware that prayer is a two-way conversation. So on this part, I will give it a try because as I'm allowing you to flow through me, I know you are speaking directly to somebody. So as best as I can tell from what's been written is that the man whose name is Robert attended a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord. Robert's family attends the church, and Robert basically grew up in the church and was involved to the extent that he played a percussion instrument, and there was video footage on the church's website of him even playing the instrument. At some point, Robert's struggles with sin led him to seek residential counseling. He struggled so hard that one of his roommates said that he asked him to hold on to his knife. Still, his problems persisted, apparently so much so that the day before he went on the killing spree, his parents put him out of their home. And we now know what happened there. But what is something for us who believe in you to consider is how do we handle this? Should we not seek your guidance on the right thing to do? I don't know, Lord, if Robert's pastor consulted you on the message he provided to the world, but here is what he is quoted as saying about plans to remove the 21-year-old from its membership. The rationale is because the church can, quote unquote, no longer affirm that he is truly a regenerate believer in Jesus Christ, saying that church members were distraught and that they watched him grow up and accepted him into church membership when he made his own profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But that, quote unquote, these unthinkable and egregious murders directly contradict his own confession of faith in Jesus and the gospel. Okay, so Lord, whomever you are speaking to, I pray that they will get your message and act accordingly. Continuing on with what was previously written, we thank you, Lord God, for forgiveness. Really, mental illness is simply not being connected to you. There is not a single thing that can come upon us or even the choices we make that evil will ever, forever separate us from you. Sure, we can leave, but you do not leave us. And we do not have to make the choice to leave you because there is nothing we can do that you will not forgive. Lord, I know that some have a problem with it, but you will even forgive the man who murdered 8 people. If anyone listening is bothered by your forgiving the man, let them realize that this same forgiveness extends to them because Jesus Christ paid the price once and for all, long ago on Calvary, for all of our sins, the ones we have committed, the ones we're committed maybe even now, and those that we will commit in the future. We thank you, Jesus. We place on the altar darkness. All of the evil, sinful thoughts we're hiding, we place them on the altar for you to shine your light on to heal us. We got to see real time just how bad things can become when we embrace darkness instead of you. We stand on 1 John 1:7. For you have promised that if we are living in the light, as you are in the light, then we will have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. We thank you, God. And we just thank you for this example, Lord. We've learned that this man professed you, believed to be saved, and yet he still committed such a heinous crime and certainly a sin. We've got to realize, Father, that even though we have called upon you, that does not make us perfect, that we still have sin in the world. We still will struggle. But if we want to get answers as to how to be able to be released and freed from the trap of sin, that we've got to call on you. So we release right now all our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere on earth. You set your wishes that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We acknowledge, Lord, just like your word says, that if we keep our mind stayed on you, we're not going to wander. We're not going to get caught up in sexual sin or any other sin, because you will keep us in perfect peace, just like you said you would. Lord, let us not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves. In this way, Lord, we will not become mentally ill by becoming so selfish. And your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. Lord, 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 why indeed do we call on your name and do not do what you say? Another thing we need you to shine your light on is voter suppression. Lord, this is nothing short of oppression of our fellow man. Let us see that when we try to keep someone else's voice from being heard, that this is an offense to you. All across the world, we're seeing more and more of what is called ethnic cleansing, terrible, sinful, and evil behavior towards one another. This morning, it was reported that in Ethiopia, women are being raped in attempts to impregnate them to dilute a certain ethnic group. Other women are having sharp objects placed inside of them to prevent them from even having children. Lord, you see all the evil that we perpetrate against each other, and sadly, much of this is even in your name. It's not my job to lecture your church, Lord. No, that is definitely not my job. I don't want to be anywhere near that. That is your responsibility. That is the word that you have given us that we're supposed to look at. And so I beg of you to expose any teaching like that, which was removed from that man Robert's church website, the kind of teaching that oppresses. You have taught us that one color is not superior to another color. You have taught us that one gender is not superior to another gender. Let us see this evil for what it is and instead not think more highly of ourselves than we are. Lord, please help and forgive us. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would fully heal our nations. We are aware, according to your word, that as your people call by your name, coming before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways, that is what will activate your promise of healing our land. And we need that healing, Lord. We pray for true salvation for our leaders. There are many, many nations represented in this prayer this morning. Some are in the United States and many are in distant places, Lord. And you know what the individual unique situations are of those particular nations, Lord. And you have said that the heart of the king is in your hands, regardless of who that king might be. So we pray that those leaders will seek you and make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that was placed in their hands, even if they didn't pledge to undertake it, Lord. Let them be mindful of it. Lead and guide them, Father, for all our sakes. We help us to see that it is you, Lord God, that is with us, that you are leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember that you always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you. Lord, that's so important. If they really, really want to find you, whether it's right now or later on, just the two of you, Lord, let them recognize that you hear their prayer when you call out unto them. Whether they're in a prison cell, Lord, whether they're ensnared in some type of sin, let them call upon you and you will hear them and you protect us. Help us to also remember our days are numbered and may that knowledge urge us to be about your business. Regardless of what illness or injury ushers a loved one from this earth, we pray for their survivors. Comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit and by acts of kindness, especially from those of us who call ourselves believers, so that they can see you through our works. We place it all at your feet, Lord. Our world, families, relationships, everything that's on our hearts, right here we're leaving at the altar. We will not make a move until you tell us to. We're casting all our cares on you, just like you told us to do. So please now hear, O Lord, all of the individual requests that are being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. We just thank you for being the kind of God that can hear every last one of us all at once. And we thank you for being an answerer of prayer. And we thank you for this venue, a blog talk. I pray, Father, that everyone listening in is already saved or will be before this service has ended. Please use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you so they accept your wonderful salvation. We also pray that those saved already will keep pressing on in unity in our faith and of knowledge of your Son so we mature, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Father, we recognize that it's not just those of us that are tuning in today, March 20, the year 2021. There will be people who will tune in next week, maybe week after next, several months from now, or maybe even into the distant future, maybe even during tribulation times. Lord, we pray that you will give them a word for them in their time. Open up their physical and spiritual eyes so that they will see and understand. Lord, we pray for these souls. Please, please watch over them and keep them. And we know you will do that. We can trust you to do that, Heavenly Father, because you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and who keep your commands. We bring all of these petitions as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. So we end our prayer joining heaven this morning, declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we seal our prayer in the great name that every knee will bow to one day and every tongue will confess as Lord in that great name, Jesus. We pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister June Rogers, for praying and making our requests known to God. The Lord hears our prayers. Thank you. All right. I am truly enjoying the service. That was a powerful prayer. And I hope you are enjoying the service, too. As we continue, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to serve as your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear is our very own associate pastor, Jonathan Tate. Bless the prayer to receive Pastor Jonathan Tate as he come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You, yes. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord, say it. I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing.
The Lord.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this brand new day. We thank you for this opportunity to praise you and to worship you, to lift your name up. Lord, and to open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to you for your use. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would remove any distractions right now, Lord, that you would center us and focus us in on your word and help us to do so willingly as participants in this faith walk with you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word that the Lord provided this morning, you guys know how he does with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That's out of the New Living Translation that I'll be reading. But it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I want to thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Thank the Lord for those who participated in the broadcast and for those who are listening all around the world. The Lord always puts people in certain places and certain times to hear his word, and is strictly designed for those who are listening. And I'm thankful for those who will listen, because I know these are recorded broadcasts, but I thank the Lord for his orchestration. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 reads, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace, kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. Let us look at verse 1. It says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." Saints, one thing we need to understand is that sin leads to death, period. That's the terminal goal of sin is death. And as God's children, we are children of the light. We have life eternal because of what Jesus did on the cross. So then about this passage is not just ruining and what we used to do and how we used to be, but understanding that we are changed because of God's presence in our lives. So as you look at verse 1, it says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." We know that the word says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We continue to live in sin. The world is sinful. Our nature is sinful. So we need to understand that, basically keep it real with yourself, that sin is a part of who we are because of what happened in the garden, you know, with Adam and Eve, you know, our, you know, parents, per se, because they were the first two people on Earth. So we were once dead because of our disobedience and because of our sins. And I look at the past tense of the words used here. Verse 2 says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil of the powers, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. We used to live in sin. We have to, as a reality and as a lifestyle change, that we used to live in sin. And I want to point out something because I know some people may be confused about it, where it says the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. The devil is one of his names is the prince of the power of the air. So between heaven and earth, it's, you know, understood and believed that Satan rules over that small area because God has allowed him to. Because remember, there's Satan and there's the demons. So God gave him that area for now, and it's temporary. And we need to understand that, you know, what tough times are in terms of related to sin. You know, I like, you know, older folks used to always say trouble don't last always, and it doesn't unless you choose to engage in it. If you choose to, you know, to walk in sin and to live a sinful lifestyle, then your trouble will last as long as you continue to walk in that. And what Paul is saying here is that, hey, this is how we used to be. We used to live in sin. We used to thrive and have our very being in sin. It doesn't mean as God's children, as being saved folk, that that's what you have to do. Because, Hiram, we have to understand that we are God's children once we got saved. So sin no longer has the power that it once had because of God's very presence in our lives. But we have free will, so we choose sin. And one thing that the Lord revealed to me earlier this week, he said, I was getting ready for work, and he said, your reflection of love is only going to go as far as your relationship with me and how you treat me. And it was one of those aha moments. It was one of those, you know, where the light bulb comes on, and it's like, if I want to reflect love and loyalty and light in the world at a high level, I have to really pay attention to my relationship with the Lord and how I live, how I speak, how I act in this world. But it's a reflection of my relationship with Him. So saying that, if your relationship in the Lord continues to grow and continues to thrive as you embrace your loyalty to Him, as you allow Him access to every part of your being and not keep certain parts of your life closed off to Him, then that reflects in the world. So as children of God, that's what we should be doing and being focused on versus how we used to be in our sinful, deadly lifestyles. Amen? Amen. Verse 3 says, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Let's be clear. God hates sin. He despises it. And when you engage in deadly living or a sinful lifestyle, then you're working against Him, and you're engaging in God's wrath. And the beautiful thing about what Jesus did, going to the cross and rising from the grave, is for those of us who are saved, then we're protected from God's wrath. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't punish you, because sin brings consequences, just like doing what's right brings reward. So when I talk about God's wrath, I'm talking about hell. So we're saved from hell, but let's be clear, can experience consequences of our sin. You know, God punishes those that he loves. He loves his children. He's not a deadbeat dad. He loves his children. He cares about his children, period. So by him doing so, when we do wrong, he's going to correct us. He's going to punish us so that it deters our behavior. Amen? Amen. So verse 4 says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by God's grace that you have been saved. What a wonderful friend we have in Jesus. What awesome love that we have in our big brother and our father and our counselor in the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. And I hope that each and every one of you can say, I'm saved. Because God was so and is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much. You know, when you stop and think about, and I want you to do this, just pause for a second and think about kind of love it took for God to exhibit by sending his son to the cross, his only son to the cross in our place, in your place. Take that personal. I dare to say that no one has loved you like God. No one. Most people struggle with telling other folks that they love them. And that's just a just love in action by saying, you know, I want to make this right because I love them so much. And, you know, pretty much everybody on the earth, we weren't born when Jesus went to the cross, unless you're over 2,000 years old, which I doubt that, because it would be highly publicized if someone was walking the earth and they were over 2,000 years old. We weren't even born yet, so think about that. God knew that John was coming March 1st, 1977, and he loved me before that and knew that I would get saved October 31st of 1987. As a 10-year-old. He knew that. But before I was even born, before I was even conceived, he loved me. He knew that he was sending his son to the cross in my place because I was the one that deserved the cross, not Jesus. When you think about it like that, it should get you to really thinking and appreciating our Father, our elder brother, and our counselor, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And verse 6 says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. That is awesome. He raised us from the dead with Christ and seated us in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. I'm not trying to sell you anything that I don't believe. This is awesome stuff. Eternity is a long time. It doesn't end. God is not constrained by time. We are. Time here will end. We see it all the time when people go by way of the funeral home. We see that all the time. People are leaving here, left and right, famous and regular. So we need to understand that. We need to understand who we are. We were raised with Christ. We're united with Christ, brothers and sisters. We're already seated in heavenly realms. When we got saved and we said yes to Jesus, we reserved our seat. We did. Now, God knew that we would get saved, so he already had everything worked out on the back end, but we have free will. So we have to choose Jesus and say yes so that we could unite on our own will, out of love. Told you, when you love the Lord, what he told me, when you love me and you pay attention to our relationship and the dynamics of it, the loyalty, you'll reflect that in your relationships around the world. You'll love on people no matter who or what they are. Whether they're homeless and they're out begging for change, whether they're strung out on drugs and alcohol, whether they walk in the streets, whether they're criminals or not, terrorists or not, you'll love on them because God exercises unconditional, agape love. He wants everybody to come on in and join the family. Amen? We should want that too. Verse 7 says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. They said to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us. I can't tell you how awesome God has been to me. I can't put it into words. I could never, honestly, if I just sat and thought about just today, you know, the fact that I can see and hear and move and groove, have shelter and transportation and more than enough. The Lord has truly been good to me my whole life. And I dare to say he's been good to you your whole life. No matter what ups and downs, no matter what abuse or neglect that you've gone through, he's truly been good. Because you wouldn't be here in the state that you're in without him. And no matter what you're going through, whether you're sick, whether you're hurting, whether you're stressed out or frustrated, I've been all of that. And every time God brings me through, because I hold his hand and we walk through together, no matter what, whether it was being shot at, whether it was mom going on to glory, whether it was being out of work for 19 months, no matter what it was, friend of the court, you know, whatever it was, he's been there for me and has been good to me. And he can say, look at my son. He ain't perfect, but that's my son, and he's working and he's trying to make it happen. But see, God sees what we don't see in us. God sees the 100% potential that we have. God knows what we're capable of. And he's done so much for us. You know, it could be better, but it could always be worse, too. Amen? Amen. And I'm glad that we're united with Christ Jesus. That brings a certain assurance and insurance that John ain't going to hell. If I don't get nothing else right, I got that right. I chose to win the team. So it feels good to be united with Christ. You by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. So let's be clear. God saved you. We can't take credit for that. It's strictly a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things. Evil people can do good things. People that are atheists, that totally don't believe in God, can do good things. As shady as we are at times, we can do good things. So it's not by what we've done. It's strictly because Jesus went to the cross in your place. Think about that for a second. You had a debt that you couldn't pay, totally unable, and it was wiped clean, punishment that you deserved, that we deserved, and didn't want to face it. We couldn't face it. We couldn't go to the cross and be punished for the sins of the world. So picture Golgotha, the place of the skull where the crucifixion took place. Picture that with billions and billions and billions of crosses, with one with your name on it and mine as well. And that movie was maybe 2-3 hours long. That was a glimpse of what Jesus went through. That wasn't the whole piece. That was a glimpse of what he went through. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want to go that route. I'd be like, look, Lord, we need to figure something else out because I can't do that one. That's what John would say. Jesus got here and knew as a child that he was going to have to face the cross. Could you imagine what that felt like? He's 5 years old knowing that you're going to face the worst punishment ever known to man for something that you did not do. Just marinate on that for a second. He went in your place. He went in my place. Willingly, out of love. That's why we can claim salvation. Because he went in our place. And he rose from the grave. And we rose with him. Because we're united with Christ Jesus. Amen. And verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The Lord has always had plans for you. Whether you choose to engage in them or not, it's totally up to you out of free will. Before you were born, before you were conceived, God knew you. He worked out, he fashioned those brown eyes in your skull, that round head on your dome, your chest, your arms, your legs. He knew the finished product, you together. That's why it's just one of you, which makes you priceless in his sight. You can have triplets and quintuplets and whatever. And it's just one of you, God's masterpiece. I always used to tell my students, my homies in the Sunday school class, the teens, that if you have a car that's one of one, it's hard to put a price tag on it. I believe I saw a Rolls Royce, I think it's called the, don't let me butcher the name, but it has a funny back. Like a, anyway, I think the car is like $18 million because it's like one of them in the world. But just think about you as a human, and it's just one of you. God doesn't even have a price tag on you. It would just come up as priceless. So we're God's masterpiece. He loves us. He cares about us with him. All that he's done for you is strictly for you. but he wants us to reflect what he's done for us and who we are in him to the rest of the world so that we can bring more in, so we can be fishers of men. So we each have nets, spiritual nets, to cast out, to pull folks in to the family. Jesus didn't die just for you. He died for everybody and paid for all sins, past, present, and future. If you believe that, that's part of it. That's the first part. If you believe that Jesus went to the cross in your place to pay for all of your sins, that's the first part. The second part is inviting him in. And if you're not sure where you're going, if you're not sure if it's heaven or hell, you need to make a decision. Do you believe that Jesus died and paid for all your sins and rose from the grave? That's the first part. The second part is just real simple. It's just inviting him in. And if you believe, you can just repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I know that you died for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can receive salvation right now and spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you believe, you just want to get into a good Bible-based church, you can join us online. Feel free, I personally invite you as my new brother and sister or sister in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you have done. Thank you for uniting us with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Elder Brother, for going to the cross in my place. And we each can say that. It was your cross and it was the two thieves, Lord. It wasn't billions of crosses. It was yours and the two thieves. And even one of them recognized, hey, you're the Messiah. I want to spend eternity with you. So, Lord, help us to remember the price that was paid for us, even though we can't count it, but to know it was paid in full. Help us to reflect our relationships from yours within us to the world, and help us to be more loyal to you and to fall in love with you daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Brother Preacher. You know I love that passage, and every Christian ought to. Amen. You know, we're saved by grace. God just wanted to, and he did. All we had to do was say yes. And then verse 10 brings in that light that the Lord had been thinking about us even before we were born. So we know that Jeremiah, amen, was no more special than we are, because before God formed us in the womb, he knew us. He sanctified us, set us apart for his service, and he ordained us to do. Amen. I love how it says over there that he had good works planned before we were even born. Amen. Laid out for us to do. We were on his mind, get this, before time existed. Amen.
Yes.
Hold on, preacher. I'm tripping. Amen.
All right.
I'm turned up. Amen, everybody. The preacher that got me, it don't take much, but when somebody correctly preaches the word of God and I hear the Holy Spirit laying it out so that we get it, amen, I get turned up. Amen. Amen. You know how those two walked down the road with Jesus and Luke, right? On the road to Emmaus. And what did they say? Did not our hearts burn? Amen. Why, the word of God was just opened up to us. And that's what just happened, y'all. Amen. Guess what? A wonderful thing. I think this song will put some icing on that, put a top on that. Amen. And we should close it up and keep it for the rest of our lives. Guess what, y'all? Because of what we just heard the preacher preach about, because of what Jesus did for us, now we can say, I belong here.
There is a place for me. There is a place for me. There
is our Savior, and we believe the report that God gave concerning his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, amen, will not perish, but God has guaranteed eternal life, because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, amen, but that the world might be saved through him. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on God's only begotten Son. Amen. The Lord made it easy for us, and the preacher really laid it out. You get a chance, you go back and listen to this message over and over and over. The next time you get to beating yourself up, and you're going to see one thing through what the preacher preached today. Jesus did it. And you just get it. Jesus did it. And you just get it. Now, if you're living raggedy like the preacher say, amen. I'm going to leave it alone. But Crystal, where you at this morning? Where you hiding at? Girl, where is you? Crystal, where you at? This messy you. Hey, man, I almost started preaching. It's your fault. It's you and Johnson, both y'all, and June with that prayer, and Kathy with all that talk. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I don't have nothing
you
to
know,
do with me.
And then Loretta with the scripts and the press, all y'all fault that I am turned up like this.
Yes, it's all of them. It has nothing to do with me because I'm, like, turned up, too. Like, you know, service has been so wonderful today, and it always is, you know, and it never ceases to amaze me how, you know, those of us that run for Christ Ministries who have now grown into, you know, teachers and preachers, you know, but when we think about where we started, and so I you know, obviously listen to the song that you play where, you know, there is a place for me. I belong here. And then listening to Jonathan's sermon. And then when I was listening to June and her prayer earlier, and I'll be honest with you, I don't engage in the news a lot.
It's very negative. It's very disheartening. It's very sad. It makes you want to grieve the sin that goes on in this world. And so when she mentioned the situation with the killings against the Asian Americans that happened, I honestly had not read a lot about it. I honestly had not really wanted to engage in it because I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy, the enemy. He just won't quit. He just won't quit. And so I just was reading an article where it talked about how his church was in the process of disowning him. And then when I listened to Jonathan's sermon about how, you know, we were thought about before time even existed, and then when I hear the song where it says, I belong here, it's like, where do we as people get off telling another person that they don't belong here?
Come
and
on,
then you're a religious, supposedly spiritual institution who gets together to say that because the person committed what we think in our minds is the ultimate sin, which to God a sin is a sin, whether you tell a little white lie that don't exist or whether you kill half the people on your street, a sin is a sin. And where do we as people get off telling other people that they do not belong here?
That's what King David wanted to know. King David say, hey, I did that Uriah thing, and I'm still here. Amen. It was wrong.
And
I lost the son over it. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
But I'm still
here.
Amen.
But I am still here. And the Lord still said that David was a man after God's own heart, even in the midst of all of his sins. So where do we, as people who were all created the same way, who all put our
hands on
one leg at a time, who all... If I went up and cut you, would bleed red. I mean, where do we get off as people saying that someone else does not belong here? That's why racism to me makes no sense, because we are spiritual beings first. We were created in the image and the likeness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They said, we are going to make man in our image. We are spiritual first. But the enemy has created so much division that we don't even see the spiritual beings that we are. Our spirits are just housed in this flesh, and the differences in our flesh are what's supposed to bring us together, but it's what the enemy uses to divide us. We all belong here. A church institution does not have the right to get together and tell someone, you don't belong here because your sin is a sin that we can't handle. Well, guess what? You as a person may not be able to handle it.
Come on.
As a church institution may not be able to handle it, but guess what? Jesus can handle it. And as
Come
soon
on,
as that
say
young man
Jesus
and anybody else who preaches and confesses their sins and says, Lord, I am sorry for what I did. This body that I'm in that is sinful did things that it should not have done, because our spirits and our flesh will never come together. But when we confess our sins to the Lord, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us. Now, natural consequences are what they are. We don't get the punishments that we deserve, like Jonathan was talking about, but Jesus died for all of it. And we as people do not have a right to tell someone that they don't belong here. Wherever your here is, whether it's on a street in a neighborhood, whether it's in a church, whether it's on a job, whether it's in the school, whether it's on the moon, Jesus says you belong here. So
Amen.
You remember that.
And that's
no matter
all that
what,
matters.
You belong here. That's it. That's it. The only color that matters is the blood of Christ that was shed for all of us. Nothing else matters, because, Pastor, you've always told us, no matter what, if me and you don't believe in the same thing, when we get up out of here, we going to the same place. But if me and you believe in the same thing, it don't matter what, we going to the same place. So all this extra doesn't matter. We all belong here.
You know
Jesus
what?
Jesus died for everything.
When Jesus was with his disciples, they was walking along. And then Jesus looked at Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, you know, tax collector, publican, sinner. They was never described in a nice way, amen?
Not at all.
And Jesus saw Matthew, and said, come and follow me. How many of his disciples, especially them business owners, Peter and them, amen, and John, James and John, them business owners who had to pay Matthew, who probably got ganked by Matthew, how you think they felt when they said, Matthew, come follow me? And they looked at Jesus, they looked at Matthew, and like, oh, no, he don't belong here. Jesus, we need to tell you, he don't belong here. When Jesus went to Simon's house and that woman who was just designated a sinner came in to Simon the Pharisee's house, you know, he was just, him and his boys just fell back. And then she went over to Jesus and started crying. Her tears soaked his feet, and then she wiped them with her hair. And Jesus said, though her sins are many, she'll be forgiven. Come on, Dusty. It's amazing how we get saved, me, Joe, us, Mo, and nobody else.
And
amen.
No,
God bless me and my house and nowhere else. Amen. What? Come on, now.
Lord.
The same love. I'm twisted. You better stop me. I better stop right now.
I know. I'm ready.
You
revving up over there. Yes, Lord have mercy. I'm real.
Ooh, I'm himified. I got hemi engines going off.
Lord have mercy. Good morning, everybody. From the start finish of this service, it has been amazing. We welcome everyone here to our Saturday morning worship service. We thank God for everyone who tuned in today or who will tune in tomorrow, like Gene said, or later on this week, or, you know, maybe, you know, who knows, hundreds of years into the future. We don't know, but we know that the Blog Talk platform has been put here for a reason. And we at Running for Christ Ministries are working this Blog Talk situation. So, you know, we thank God for everybody who listened today and everybody who tuned in. We would like to thank Pastor Jonathan Tate for bringing us the word today. Beyond blessed. I don't think there's anything else to be said about that. Like Pastor said, download it and listen to it over and over again. It was truly a strong message, and we were beyond blessed by the message that was brought forth, and we appreciate you, and we thank you for your obedience and your faithfulness to learn, to teach or be taught, and to preach the word to all of us who are listening. And then Ready for Christ Ministries, the building, of course, the physical Sands Lonely building, is still located at 27085 West Auto Drive in Lee Course, Michigan. Sunday, March 21st, I cannot believe it, tomorrow, March 21st, we will have our services here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, beginning with our Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. with Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, teaching 2 Corinthians chapter 1, followed by our worship service, which begins at 10 a.m. with Pastor O bringing us the word for Sunday service tomorrow, so make sure to tune in. Our Bible classes are held, well, actually, let me kind of do it in day order. So Monday night, we have our Bible reading class at 6 o'clock. I, Deaconess Crystal, that's me, will be teaching 1 Kings chapters 6 through 11. This coming Monday, Pastor has sent the email with the questions, and they're available online for you to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there for you to attend. Now, on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, we know by now is Pastor O's brother, is on Blog Talk Radio teaching and preaching in his series. Speaking about Training Day, I know he has been going over other things, speaking about fruits of the Spirit, if I can get that out. He's been talking about that. So set yourself a reminder each week and tune in at 4 o'clock every Tuesday to hear Minister Richard Overall bring his word. We all know that he was here on Saturdays and he just did not have enough time. It was almost like his message just got cut, but he has so much to say. So now he's got his hour and he takes full advantage of it with the information that he gives to us. So make sure to tune in on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Now, our Bible classes are held here on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. This is the class that we, of course, have had. Pastor O is teaching from the book Major Bible Themes, teaching this week in chapter 51, speaking about the judgment of the great white throne. So please read the chapter, any scriptures contained within, and make sure to answer the question at the end of the chapter and be ready to participate in discussion. So up until this point, you've got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday already on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. And as a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded archived and free. So not just our Monday night Bible class, not just Tuesday, not just Wednesday, but also our Saturday and our Sunday services. You got 5 days full of Jesus right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to, again, our church website, rfcm.org, click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, and there you'll have access to every class, every service, every teaching that we've had from the beginning. Amen. I mean, if you'd like to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, or if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, go to our church website. There you'll be able to do so. There's PayPal. There's a mailing address there should you want to mail something in. We've got a lot of different outreach organizations that we help. You all continue to bless Run for Christ. We continue to be able to pour out onto, excuse me, other ministries. I think it was last week I said it, or maybe the week before, that we have made our first installment towards the outreach ministries that we support. So Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Group Living Ministries. Amen. So, you know, we know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people all year long. So we say thank you. God bless you. We praise God for you. And we look forward to continuing to pour into these ministries that help so many people all year long. Amen. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Pastor Jonathan Tate, again, go to our church website, rfcm.org. Click on offerings, and right there you can give. Just make sure you notate who the offering is for, and it will be passed on to the preacher accordingly. Amen? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And we will choose today to be obedient and continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Pray for those who are sick and shut in, as well as one another. Don't forget to pray for yourself. You are important. Continue to pray for all of our mothers, excuse me, at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, who I was able to go and see yesterday, and I broke all the rules, and I hugged my mama. Yes, I did. I didn't care. I had not hugged my mama in a whole year, and I hugged my mama, but I was so happy to hug her. Please also don't forget to pray for Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Amen. Pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Also pray that the will that you have for your life align with God's will and purpose for your life, as it's only the will of the Lord that will prosper. We know that we are self-destructive people, and we are in the flesh, and it will never line up with our spirit. So we have to put our plans that we have for ourselves in the hands of the Lord, because we know that his will prosper. Amen. Special prayers go out to Mother Marilyn overall, Mother Irma Miller, Minister John McFall, Tyrone Hamilton, of course, all of our kids, all of these teachers. These are people who were wearing multiple hats. Some of us are parents, who are students, who are teachers. There's a lot going on. Of course, pray for our world, our nation, if I could talk, our leaders on every level, all the doctors, nurses, all those in the medical field, everybody who is an essential worker, anybody who has had anything to do with keeping, you know, this world outside of God's help, this world afloat during this pandemic. Please keep, you know, in prayer the many missing and exploited children, those who are being trafficked and abused, and, of course, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. See, we are in a country where we are not persecuted for our religious beliefs, not on a large scale. You may have somebody who, you know, may be one lone person who may have an issue with something, but our brothers and sisters around the world are persecuted openly for their belief in Jesus Christ, and so they can't praise God and serve God openly like we can. Please keep them in prayer, because sometimes persecution makes you want to withdraw, and it makes you want to not be strong and be out there because of fear and things like that. Look, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so we know that if they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us as well. But our strength is in the Lord. So please keep everybody who is serving the Lord around the world lifted up in prayer. Also pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem," which is your household in today's day, "Judea," which is your community in today's day, "Samaria," which is outside of your comfort zone, to places where you wouldn't normally go if we're looking at it in today's time, "and to the ends of the earth. And we know these are places that you never thought you would go, places that you never thought even existed. But guess what? The word of God needs to get there too. It is our job to spread the God Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Will people still be in hell? Yes, that's very unfortunate. They're forcing their way into some place that was not created for them. But all we can do, excuse me, is do what God asks us to do. So if he asks you to plant a seed, plant it. If he asks you to water a seed, water it. Do what God has asked you to do and let him do the rest. Amen? Amen. We know that our words have power, but our prayers, which is our communication to God, has even more power, and we need to pray now more than ever. Mark chapter 3, verse 25 tells us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, no thing. We have been commanded to see God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen? So Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Continue reaching out to others, checking on folks, see what's up. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. So you choose to be the one to spread positivity and to brighten someone's day. Blessings don't have to be in the form of money or things, and the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of light to someone today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week or who are celebrating today. We always send special love and birthday wishes to our Run for Christ Ministries family. And we don't have anybody that had a birthday this past week, but the ultimate Dr. Deaconess June Rogers will be celebrating her birthday on March the 22nd. So we are telling her happy birthday now. We're going to tell her happy birthday on her birthday, which is Monday, and we wish nothing but love and happiness to her and all the Run for Christ Ministry members who celebrated this month. Amen? And lastly is your thought. As we pass through life's seasons, we have the promise that God is with us to help us face our challenges ahead. So I've got a devotional for you, and it says, grace for times of trouble. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10 says, even though, verse 7 is like a partial sentence, it says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, excuse me, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. But when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? So trouble is an ever-present reality in this fallen world, and there is no way to totally escape its grip. As believers in Jesus Christ, we usually turn to the Lord, praying that he will change the situation and release us from its clutches. That's what Paul did when he suffered from what he calls a thorn in his flesh. On three different occasions, he asked for it to be removed. However, the Lord's final thorn would remain. The sufferings that the Lord allows in our life are given to us for his good purpose. The apostle's thorn was designed to provide him with precisely what he needed. Humility. The Lord likewise has care and concern for us, and his intention is for our benefit. When he says no, when he says no to our request for relief, he says yes to something even greater, his all-sufficient grace. So perhaps you are in a season of adversity right now. Do you trust the Lord with your thorns, or are you trying to pull them out? Whenever God allows suffering to remain, he gives grace to endure it. Cooperate with him and be joyful in his loving wisdom and sufficiency. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank you. Ooh, deep. I always forget to turn my monitor on. And Jesus say, you don't talk through the monitor. You talk through your mic. Do I have to tell you this every Saturday?
Yeah.
I mess up sometimes. I know y'all think I'm perfect.
Right.
Y'all be like, I wish I was perfect like Pastor. He is
just
so perfect.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Yeah, well, so much for that, right? Hey,
right.
Let me jump on top of these announcements for a minute. I got a couple more. And I want you to pick this up and put it in there until it happened, okay?
Okay.
You can pick it up and put it in there for tomorrow and carry it out. The Bible reading class on the 31st, well, no, the 31st is the last day of the Wednesday night Bible class. We'll actually close out. We'll be at chapter 52, and it's only 52 chapters, so we'll be out of that. And then the Wednesday night advanced Bible class will go away until September, and return with Christian history. That'll be the next advanced class. But that won't happen until September. Now, what's going to happen is April 7th will be the Bible reading class will no longer be on Monday, but it's going to move to Wednesday. So the Bible reading class will take place on Wednesday, starting April 7th. Bible reading class will be on Wednesdays, not Mondays. Bible reading class will be on Wednesdays, not Monday. Amen. Baby Holy Ghost say, you're confusing. So I'm making it plain. See, Jonathan, you got to go ahead, man, and find you a wife so I can – we got to talk, man. We got to talk. So, you know, you can get you a baby Holy Ghost. But anyway, that Bible class, the Monday night – Bible class is going to continue, but it's going to continue April 7th on what night?
Wednesday
night. Amen. Amen. Okay, also want to talk about a book discount on my one book, Jesus Christ, His Birth, From His Birth to His Ascension. We're offering $5 off on that until April 30th. So it'll be $5 off my first book, Amen, Jesus Christ, From His Birth to His Ascension. This is because of Resurrection Sunday's coming, amen. And the Lord is more concerned about the book getting out to people, especially parents who have children. They could make it one of the readings they give to their children so that their children who probably won't pick up a Bible or some unsaved person you know who won't pick up a Bible, you can just hand them this book, or somebody who's in the body of Christ but haven't did a whole lot of Bible study, you can just hand them the book and it'll bring them up to date. Okay, so we're knocking $5 off of that price. Also, beginning in March, I believe, every fourth Wednesday from March, I believe, till November, every fourth Wednesday we'll be out in front of the church with First Fruit Living Ministries. Since the Lord has blessed and I'll be fully vaccinated, I'll be out there on April, the first Wednesday, fourth Wednesday in April. I'll actually be there myself along with Minister Lachelle Anderson and whoever else wants to show up. So Running for Christ, you don't want a whole lot of people. Maybe one or two people can show up on the fourth Wednesdays. What we do is pray for people, restore people back to Christ. Some people accept Christ, and we give them a free lunch and a Bible, okay? And you'd be surprised how many people want the prayer, want the restoration, want to give their life to Christ versus the free lunch. Amen. And they want the Bible. So I got a chance to do it myself with her. Amen. Lisa, she was there. Amen. And Deacon Eric Reed, he would come out sometime, and it's just an awesome thing. You can, amen, experience something that a lot of us don't. A lot of us really don't lead people to Christ. I mean, we just go ahead and admit that, okay? But this is an opportunity for you to do that in real time, amen? And you'll learn how to bring them in, amen? Amen. I'm through. Okay, Brother Preacher. Amen. Go ahead.
All right.
Give us some words and close us out for Crystal start preaching again.
Well,
love you, Crystal. Thank you. Appreciate
you. Love you too. You're welcome.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Pastor O, for the opportunity. I appreciate it. And appreciate the gift of salvation and live life accordingly. Amen.
And amen.
Those are words to live by.
Be blessed, my brother.
You too, Pastor.
Hey, you'll come down about 4 o'clock. You'll be normal again. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. God bless and keep each and every one of you. Have a wonderful weekend. Amen. And don't forget to give God all the time you can possibly give him. This is that time where we get to lie down in the green pastures. This is when he gets us up and leads us beside the still waters, and he restores our souls so that we can go back down into the valley of the shadow of death. But we've been restored, so we don't fear no evil. Amen. Amen. Because we know he's with us. Amen. God bless. Again, on the sermon that was preached today, we are God's masterpiece. And this song is by Danny Gokey. Yep, that's his real name. His mama named him that. Amen. But he made a beautiful song, and it's called Masterpiece. Think about it.
Black and blue, painted in mercy.